Four questions down, two more to go. Let's begin question number five with candidate number two, Bill Shaw Jr. Ultimately, the judge has the final say on accepting negotiated plea agreements. Would you favor lighter sentences of incarceration to provide relief to Clearfield County taxpayers, or would you rather sentence individuals based on the severity of the case and the original charges filed?
So if I understand your question, I think it comes down to, look, in Pennsylvania, like every other state, we have what's called sentencing guidelines. So it really is a question of what are the sentencing guidelines for this particular case? Whenever somebody is sentenced, they have to be sentenced within the sentencing guidelines. There's not that, that kind of discretion. So a judge can say, hey, I'm going to give you, 2 months in jail, but well, you're my friend, so I'm only going to give you a probation. You know, you're not allowed to do that because of the sentencing guidelines. So they just redid the sentencing guidelines. And I think that the new sentencing guidelines are in an effort to relieve the burden on county jails by making home confinement, house arrest, those type of things more acceptable for sentences that, you know, not everybody needs to go to jail for, 10 months. That doesn't help anybody. Maybe they need to be on house arrest. They have to have a component of some type of a drug and alcohol counseling. They have to go to some kind of a therapy. And provided that they do that, hopefully they'll get the help that they need, that it will account for their, criminality. You know, most of these cases, they're all probably have some touch with a drug or alcohol issue. So just putting people in jail for, countless months, I'm not so sure that that's the answer. It has to have some component of, therapy. So I think that's what the new guidelines require. I think as a judge, prosecutor, or defense attorney, you're required to follow those guidelines. That's what I would do as a judge. Thank you, Jim.
Question number five. Next, we have candidate number three, Adrian Peter Sipes. Ultimately, the judge has the final say on accepting negotiated plea agreements. Would you favor lighter sentences of incarceration to provide relief to Clearfield County taxpayers, or would you rather sentence individuals based on the severity of the case and the original charges filed?
Well, Jim, I think each situation is really unique, so there's not necessarily a blanket answer to cover that question. The facts and circumstances are going to vary with each case is why you need to take each case individually. The district attorney and the defense attorneys have the ability to negotiate a plea that they feel is appropriate. There's a lot of variables going into that. Based on the strength of the case, whether or not the individual wants to avoid going to trial, what the situation is going to be. With that being said, though, as a judge, you do have the discretion whether or not to accept the plea or not. If I do not feel like a plea is appropriate based on the facts and circumstances of the case, I will reject that plea, and they can go back and further negotiate, or they can be placed on the trial list. However, to give a blanket answer and say that, certain cases would be treated in a certain way, or, cases are going to depend on, the population at the jail or what the costs are going to be to the taxpayers, you need to focus on what your job is as a judge, is to ensure that, the criminal defendant, if they are pleading guilty, receives an appropriate sentence for what they did and what the facts and the circumstances support.
Question number five goes to candidate number four, Ryan Sayers. Ultimately, the judge has the final say on accepting negotiated plea agreements. Would you favor lighter sentences of incarceration to provide relief to Clearfield County taxpayers, or would you rather sentence individuals based on the severity of the case and the original charges filed?
Thank you, Jim. I have to say I live that question every day as the district attorney, looking at the guidelines and what the facts and circumstances in each case are. As has been said many times, ethically, we can't give blanket statements about what we would do because we have to look in the facts and circumstances in each case. And the DA and the defense attorneys, they have all the discovery. They have all the facts in front of them. They know where the victim stands, what restitution is due. They have all the information. The court, on the other hand, only has the charges and the original criminal affidavits. The court doesn't have a ton of information to work off of when looking at a plea agreement. Obviously, sometimes the court asks for additional information and asks them to explain why a plea has been tendered. But at the end of the day, the DA, as part of the executive branch, not part of the judiciary, has to look at the facts and circumstances, and the defense attorney has to look at protecting their clients and also has to take into consideration where the victim's at and all those other things. So there's many factors that go into a negotiated plea. But at the end of the day, as a judge, the judge has to look what is fair to the victims, what is fair to the community, and what is the law. Those sentencing guidelines that we're all constrained by, we have to look at it. And with the change in the sentencing guidelines, a lot of misdemeanor ones, twos, and threes, the misdemeanor charges, a lot of the recommendations from the legislature are probation or maybe 30 days in jail. And I know I hear it regularly that some people would, you know, on a simple assault or a disorderly conduct or a terroristic threat, would like somebody to go to state prison or go away for a couple of years. That's not how the sentencing guidelines are set up, and we're constrained by that. So as judge, I would continue to apply the facts and the law just like I do now as district attorney and come to a just decision in each case and trust the defense attorney and the DA to do their job. Thank you.
And wrapping up question number five, we are back to candidate number one, Josh Maines. Ultimately, the judge has the final say on accepting negotiated plea agreements. Would you favor lighter sentences of incarceration to provide relief to Clearfield County taxpayers, or would you rather sentence individuals based on the severity of the case and original charges filed?
Well, Jim, to answer that question specifically, I think justice should never hinge on money. Justice should never hinge on how much something is going to cost, or we're getting way into the weeds and we're not applying the law to a certain set of facts. We're not doing justice if our decisions are geared towards what's going to cost us the most money. I think everybody would agree with that. It's been stated. We do have sentencing guidelines, and judges are bound in some way to those sentencing guidelines. However, they are called guidelines, and when you're trained on those from the Sentencing Commission, they're very clear and careful to point out to you that, hey, they're just guidelines. You know, don't look at us. You know, if we don't agree with something, so they are guidelines. But if a judge goes outside of those guidelines, there are requirements that they have to state on the record why that is. Are there mitigating circumstances? Are there aggravating circumstances? I agree with the others. We can't have a crystal ball here and look into every single case that may come before us and say we're going to rule on a certain way. It would be unethical, and it's just impossible. The one thing that I can promise to you is that I will apply the law and that I will be interested in the facts of each and every case. And there are a lot of factors that go into that. A person's prior record, the circumstances surrounding the case in terms of victims, and so forth. There's a lot that goes into it. I will be willing and able to take in all the information that's available to me to rule as justly as I can.
And we have come to the final question, submitted by an OK1029 listeners. We'll begin this question with candidate number three, Adrian Peter Sipes. The final question for the night. If you could not vote for yourself and had to choose one of these other candidates, who would you choose and why?
I don't know that I can answer that. I think everybody brings their different strengths, different perspectives. And frankly, you know, there's still a lot to hear from the candidates. We've been very focused on criminal law this evening, but I would like to see, you know, what candidates propose as far as things on the civil side of things with your family law, with your orphans court. You know, what plans would you have to actually make changes in those regards? You know, I've practiced with everyone in this room. I've been on the other side of everyone in this courtroom. I have respect for all of them. I have respect that they are willing to be here for the right reasons. However, to pick and choose another candidate, I think is probably not appropriate at this time.
The final question of the night going to candidate number four, Ryan Sayers. If you could not vote for yourself and had to choose one of these other candidates, who would you choose and why?
Thank you, Jim. That is a tough question. And if I were not running and I were a voter sitting at home listening to this, looking at each of our websites and Facebook pages, it would be a tough decision. I would really want to sit down with each candidate and ask them because council said, we've talked a lot about the criminal world, but what about the civil cases? What about diversionary programs? And there's a lot of things that I haven't heard from the candidates. The other thing that I haven't heard, and voters have asked me when I've been knocking on doors, is, you know, what is your judicial philosophy? We're all saying that we're going to apply the law as written, which I believe we would. What is fair and just? And we're all impartial. We're all hearing these terms. We're all saying these terms. But what does that mean? What does fair look like? Where is your experience coming from? You know, what is the basis? And I think we're all come from good Christian families. I think we all practice and believe in our faiths. So I think that gives all of us a good, strong foundation. But what are your beliefs? What do you believe? You know, I know that there's been some rigmarole on social media, but like, what are your political philosophies? Because yes, we're not supposed to be political at all as judges, but your beliefs in religion and your political beliefs do have a bearing on what you think is fair and just. So as it stands right now, I can't say who I would vote for if I were not running. I have some further questions for each of the candidates before I came to that determination. Thank you.
Final question of the night. Question number six for candidate number one, Josh Maines. If you could not vote for yourself and had to choose one of the other candidates, who would you choose and why?
Well, no surprise, I cannot answer that question. I just can't. I can't do it. I think it's important for voters, again, to look into what exactly is our experience? What are our backgrounds? I disagree with any assumption that anybody's political beliefs have anything to do with whether they're going to be a fair and impartial judge. And I think that this process is set up to be completely non-political for that reason. And I would reject that notion on for any particular candidate that's here. What I would suggest is you look at us. Look at what we've done. Look at what we're doing. Look at the way we've lived our lives. I believe that experience really matters, and I know we've all talked a little bit about our experience today, but look at who has the most breadth of experience. Look at who's done every different type of case, from civil to juvenile dependencies. You know, on juvenile dependency issues, I've represented children, I've represented parents, I've done temporary assignments representing the county. Actually, I think that's why I'm bringing that up, is I think that's important, because whoever becomes judge in this position is likely going to be handling a lot of that. Juvenile delinquency matters, I've both prosecuted and defended. Those are the types of things that I think are very important. Various different types of civil trials in various counties for plaintiffs and defendants. I've done trials and appeals, and those experiences matter. Having a broad range of experience, and I, you know, being appointed to a statewide advisory position for law enforcement, I think was very important. Those are the things to look for.
And wrapping up the final question of the night, question number 6 going to candidate number 2, Bill Shaw Jr. If you could not vote for yourself and had to choose one of the other candidates, who would you choose and why?
Thank you, Jim. So let me just start. I think I said this at the beginning, but everybody here tonight, all the other candidates tonight, they're very super nice people, honorable people. I think I said this earlier, I'd have go out and have chicken wings and lemonade with all of them. But that's not the issue. The issue is who's the most qualified person to be the judge. And if I understand your question, it is, if I wasn't on the ballot and it was only these other three candidates, which one would I vote for? And if that was the circumstance, if it was just these other three people on the ballot, I tell you, my vote would be, I think I'll exercise my right to do a write-in, and I'm going to write in my own name because I believe I am the most qualified candidate. And here's why. I've been an attorney for 3 decades. I've done 150 jury trials, murder trials, death penalty trials. I personally have prosecuted child rape cases, burglary cases, drug cases. I have personally done civil jury trials. I've personally done family law trials, child custody trials. I've done all of those things that we would expect a judge to have the competency and the ability to do. If I'm elected as judge, I don't need any training. I've done it. I've been there. I've done it. I'm the only candidate here that can say that I have that type of experience. So when you say, who would I vote for? Jim, I'm going to write my name in. I'm going to vote for myself. And that's why, because I believe I'm the best qualified candidate. When it comes down to this job, it's about qualifications. Who's qualified on day one? I'm qualified on day one. Thank you.
That concludes the question portion of tonight's discussion. Now, each candidate will make a closing statement not to exceed 2 minutes. Candidates, you may use this time to clarify earlier statements or respond to any comments made this evening. Please include why you believe voters should cast their ballot for you as Clearfield County Court of Common Pleas judge. Continuing with our rotation, we will start closing statements with candidate number 4, Ryan Sayers.
Thank you, and thank you again for hosting this discussion on the radio, and thank you for the listeners that are listening and trying to be informed of each of the candidates and what our positions are. As has been said, the judge is the referee. And the judge is the one that sits there, listens to all the facts, and knows the law, applies it, and comes to a fair and impartial decision. It was previously said it's not a learn-on-the-job position. And you think about, do you put a high school referee in the MLB World Series or a local rec league ref in the Stanley Cup Finals or a college football referee in the Super Bowl? No, you don't. You want somebody that has proven experience about making decisions, looking at the facts, looking at the law, coming to a determination whether to do something, not to do something, and at the end of the day, live with that decision and not be influenced by what the public might think or one party or the other, but instead what the facts and the law dictate. That is what the judge is supposed to do. For the past 5.5 years, that is what I've done on a daily basis as the district attorney. I get criminal investigations and complaints in, I talk to defense attorneys, I talk to victims, I talk to officers, and I make a decision. And I know sometimes that the public doesn't agree with it. But I know what the facts are, the law is, I've talked to everybody involved. And that's what the judge has to do, and that's what I'll do as judge, is I will continue to do what I've already done, and at the end of the day, I will not be influenced by what the public might think or one party or others. So if you're looking for a candidate that is proven, experienced, that would be fair and impartial, look at my record, and I ask that you vote for me. If you want more information on me or to contact me, you can go to sayersforjudge.com. It's Sayers, F-O-R, judge.com. And I kindly and respectfully ask for your vote to be the next judge of the Court of Common Pleas in Clearfield County on May 20th. Thank you.
We will now continue with a closing statement from candidate number one, Josh Maines.
Thank you, Jim. Again, I'm before you today and involved in this discussion because I believe that I am the person that's most qualified for this position. I believe that I stand out as a candidate for various reasons. Experience does matter, and I know Attorney Shaw's talked about experience. All of us have talked about experience. And I can tell you that I have that experience. I've done jury trials as a prosecutor and as a defense attorney, many jury trials, many felony trials, with people in this room. And, you know, it's in many counties, in different counties, not just here in Clearfield. I've done trials for family law cases and litigation in all kinds of different civil matters. I've done transactional work. I've negotiated million-dollar solar leases to, you know, real estate transactions to estates, every type of law that would come before a judge, I have done. I am a person in this room that has done that. But beyond that, you know, I believe that I have the ability to be fair. And I believe that my peers have recognized that. As a matter of fact, you know, many folks in the court system in this county and others have come to me, you know, to say that and to encourage me to run because they believe that I would be somebody who is fair. I think if you talk to, I know everybody out there listening tonight, you may not know us personally, but I think if you talk to people who know me, they're going to tell you that Josh Maines will be a fair and impartial judge. He has the experience, he has the knowledge, and the character to execute justice for this county.
We'll now have a closing statement from candidate number two, Bill Shaw Jr.
Thanks. Thanks, Jim, for having us here tonight. And I'll tell you, it was a real pleasure, and I'm proud of everybody here tonight, you know, because this, like you said, this was a discussion, and I just appreciate everybody's responses here and their temperament here. This wasn't a personal attack on people. It was just a, you know, an ideology-based discussion. So congratulations to everybody here. But I, again, will advocate that I believe I would be the best candidate here tonight to serve as the next judge in Clearfield County. Again, you know, I have 30 years of experience, 22 of those years in the district attorney's office. I have 150 jury trials, and I'm telling you, that means something. I'm the only candidate that sits here tonight that can say that. I'm the only candidate here that has prosecuted death penalty cases. You know, I'm the only candidate, I believe, I'm the only candidate here tonight that's qualified to defend somebody charged with the death penalty. You know why? Because I've done the number of felony trials required, and I have the education that's required. I've done all those things. You can't be a judge, take the bench, and learn on the job because the consequences are too profound. If you make a mistake, here's the thing. If a mistake is made, innocent person can go to jail. I want listeners to think about that. Imagine being innocent of a crime, but you got convicted because the judge didn't know what they were talking about. Now you're sitting in a state prison cell and you're innocent? Unconscionable. Unconscionable to me. That's what's at stake here. We need a judge that is competent, fair, knowledgeable. I'll be those things. I will learn on, I'm ready to go on day one.
And now we will have a closing statement from candidate number three, Adrian Peter Sipes.
Thank you, Jim. And I appreciate the questions that were submitted this evening by the listeners. What we tended to be focused on this evening was criminal law. And I understand that because that's what we see on TV. That's what we listen to on the radio. That's what we see on the evening news. But that's a fraction of the cases that this judge is going to hear. And the other thing we didn't get into is what exactly are you going to do that's different? You know, what ideas do you have to change how our court system is currently run? So I currently have four points that I would like to make. These are available on my Facebook page and will be on the website later this evening, of how we can actually improve the courts in Clearfield County. First, we've talked about several times this evening, treatment courts. Not just drug court, but also addressing the mental health issues that individuals have in our community. Number two, alleviating our family court docket. If you look at the court calendar every week, and the majority of the cases that the judge that is going to take this seat are going to hear are family law cases. This past year, our legislature did pass the Family Law Arbitration Act. Courts are still figuring out exactly how to implement that in their counties, but it gives an alternate way for family law cases to be resolved. It is a voluntary option. It is an option that individuals can go through to reserve one or multiple issues within their family law cases. Having individuals that are able to be as arbitrators in those cases and having that available to litigants to save expense, to save time, to save the public nature of those proceedings would be a real benefit to our county. On the orphans court side, I do a lot of guardianship work. In counties I practice in, they give a lot more support to individuals going through a guardianship proceeding. We have a situation where we have to enter a guardianship tracking system, and the courts are monitoring what the guardians are doing with those individuals. If we can walk through the process, if we can have them registered and someone walk through that process with them so they're online, they're ready to submit those reports, that's great. To provide resources, the guardianship handbook is provided by a lot of counties, either in paper or electronically, to provide those resources. Thank you.
Those were the candidates running for Clearfield County Court of Common Pleas Judge in this year's primary election on Tuesday, May 20th. OK 1029 will upload this evening's Meet the Candidates discussion to our website, WOKW.com, later this week, and listeners will be able to listen to the full discussion through Election Day, Tuesday, May 20th. You, the voters, must now do your part and vote for the candidate you think best represents your viewpoint. On behalf of our listeners, I would like to wish all the candidates all the best in the upcoming primary election. Public discussions like this not only help each candidate give their views on the issues, but also make for better informed voters. Pennsylvania has a comprehensive voting website available to all eligible Commonwealth citizens. Vote.pa can help you find your polling place, check your registration status, register online to vote, apply for an absentee ballot, and much more. That website, once again, is vote.pa. You can also contact the Clearfield County Election Office by calling 814-765-2642. On behalf of everyone here at WOKW, OK1029, thank you to all the participants in this evening's discussions. I'd personally like to thank the staff and management of WOKW, and especially OK1029 News Director Amanda Thompson for her assistance with tonight's Meet the Candidates program. Most of all, we thank you, our listeners, for providing the questions for tonight's discussions. The opinions expressed during this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WOKW. This has been a public affairs program of Raymark Broadcasting. I'm Jim Strickland. Thank you for listening, and have a good evening. Today's hits and yesterday's favorites, more music, more.